Welcome to hour number 17. This is Pastor John Coleman, and with the introduction music and all the lights and the mics on in the studio and the Lucy Coleman office here in Los Angeles, California, Pastor John saying welcome to another post and pre-marriage counseling session. Those of you that are married, you want to learn how to keep that marriage intact. You want to avoid some of the pitfalls of being in a relationship with people that don't love you in the first place. And do you want to look at it through the biblical perspective if you're a Christian? I cannot help but to pay attention to some of the letters that some of the people sent me. And I really want to thank the dear sister or sister in Christ who sent me a great, great letter that I posted up on the website. Here she was leading in marriage counseling groups of women, and she's put out a ministry by women that would not listen to her. You know, that's common practice, especially African-American women. Very rarely do they listen to women of other nationalities, especially if they're speaking against what is done in an unbiblical way in the black culture. Black people have a tendency to run from that. They don't want to hear truth, especially coming from someone else that's outside of the culture. That's why when I give that kind of truth from inside of the culture, I'm even swiped on. But you know me, I've been swiped on so many times by the best of them, it doesn't even bother me. I'm just happy to have a lot of you coming over from the YouTube deal. Yep, Xerix has me up on a lot of YouTube clips, and I just so happened to go to the Trouble in the City of Refuge Noel Jones fiasco. Gosh, they are really listening to that radio interview that I had with this Laverne Greenwood and Delana Robinson. It's amazing how people are listening to this stuff and they're still talking about me and talking about me. You know, I have, well, thank you, folk, for coming to the website. If your marriage is tore up, spend an hour with me and I'll show you ladies how to be intimate with a man and vice versa. Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, saying welcome to hour number 17. Blair providing the music for us as we get into hour number 17. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Really appreciate that. Let's get right into the discourse itself. Lessons on intimacy. You know, you can't be intimate with anybody until you realize who you are yourself. How can you better tackle the challenges of developing genuine intimacy if you don't know what keeps you from being intimate in the first place? Number two, if you have never been intimate with anyone in your entire life, and then you marry that individual, and they're talking intimacy, and you have no idea what they're talking about, oh yeah, you've tuned in to the right person. All right. Let me turn off that fan because it's going to annoy me for the next hour here. Now, in order to accomplish this mission means shedding certain fantasies. And it would really be wonderful, for instance, if someone always knew what we wanted, but they don't know. Okay? People don't always know what you want. I try to tell guys all the time, if you want your wife to be something and do something, for God's sake, open up your mouth and ask them. Tell them. And you know what? I think that the ideal way that that works is that after you've been with your married partner for a while, is that that married partner knows exactly what you need and what you want, and that married partner would give you that. If your relationship is going to be a lasting one, then you have to get rid of these mythical ideas that hold you back. because you want to move ahead and deal with reality within the relationship. But before I get into those 12 things, 12 aspects of intimacy, I'd like to look at Derek and Darlene's look at the myth that impedes you. They start off with that and says, if you really love me, you would understand what I need. That's a myth. How in the heck can somebody understand what you need if they really love you and you've never told them? They're not mind readers. And a lot of times the lady says, well, I've been going unfulfilled for years. Why don't you tell him? Here's another one. The reality that moves me forward. You see, my partner is not a mind reader. And you know what? You're going to have to verbalize that because no reality is going to move you anyway in any direction unless you verbalize what that is. Another myth that impedes you is that I know exactly how I want my soulmate to look and act. And if someone does not fit that particular profile I have in my head, I will not allow any kind of relationship to grow. Well, you know what? You may be single for the rest of your life. Usually I tell men when I give them pre-marriage counseling, your wife's not going to look like Beyonce. No. Your wife is not going to look like Angelina Jolie. Your wife is going to look like Sally Sue. Now, the reality that moves me forward, I cannot expect my partner to squeeze me into a box that I've already designed. I must learn how to love him just as he is, not as I would want him to be. Too many of you are looking at each other thinking about some moving star or some rap artist that you've seen on the tube somewhere. And your husband is not that. Because you either have a myth that impedes you or the reality that you need in order to move forward. The myth that impedes you could be when I finally meet the right partner, my troubles will be over. No, when in reality, another person cannot make you whole. You've got to look really deep on the inside of you and derive a sense of self-worth that will prepare you for the particular soulmate relationship. So many people, and I hate talking about this psychological bent of self-worth, because if you get that messed up, everything else is going to be messed up. You are worthy of something. You're created in the image of Christ Jesus to the praise of his glory. Of his grace. We know that. You have absolutely everything that you need as a Christian to survive. You know, when you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You know what Peter is doing here? He's employing an apt spiritual confirmation for this exhortation here. Because he knew what he was doing. He was quoting from Psalm chapter 34, verses 12 through 16. Don't know whether you ever read it. Why don't we go there right now, since we got time? It says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he would see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Those eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You see, the believer has been granted the legacy to enjoy his life. That's why Christ told us in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. What did Jesus say? He said, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So as we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. That's intimate part of the human body, tongues and lips, between a husband and wife, should be shared in the most intimate ways. That is so nice when that is shared. So in this section, Peter gave straightforward advice to how to experience the rich joy as well as the fullness of life, even in the midst of a hostile environment. The requirements of the fulfilled life include a humble, loving attitude towards everybody. But in this sense, I'm speaking about marriage, a very humble attitude in marriage. Another myth that impedes you is that in a genuine soulmate relationship, there are fireworks and passion all the time, whereas in reality, you have to work on maintaining, building up an emotional and physical intimacy as well as romance. And you have to do that all the time because there will be things happening in your life, in life, that will pull you away from that kind of intimacy. The myth that tears you up and tears down your relationship is that you can change your partner to make him or her better, whereas in reality, you have to accept your partner as he or she really is. Your role as a soulmate is only to motivate, encourage, inspire, not to make demands. Listen, ladies, not to make demands. Please don't make demands of a man on a man, because you're turning that booger away from you. A man don't like a woman screaming in his face, talking about what he's going to do. Again, I go back to some of the earlier, I segue back into some of the earlier things that I've told you about. You're ticking that man off, and he's not going to take that. The myth that gets in your way is when you say that this relationship does not work out, I will become an emotional wreck. It'll be a disaster for me. Whereas in reality, which moves you forward, you should find yourself saying, I really can handle disappointments in a relationship. And it does not mean that I failed or that I will never find true happiness with anyone else, but I can accept it. If things don't turn out the way I need them to turn out, it's not going to make me a negative person or turn me away from what I want. Now, we're talking about, all right, let's talk about developing intimacy, because lesson number one is an important one. Lesson number one is that commitment is a decision. It's a decision that each of you make during any aspect of the relationship. Commitment involves sacrifice and long-term planning. When you're going to be with that other person, you have to be committed to being with that person, and that is a sacrificial commitment because you have to sacrifice your whims and your wants to be with somebody else, only to be with this one person. This is what makes Christianity totally exclusive. You can't get with that person and have in the back of your mind, well, if it don't work out with him or her, I can drop him or her and get with somebody else. I got to brag on my relationship when I was with my wife for over 34 years. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't no if and when. It wasn't no her or possibly somebody else. Never the thought entered into my mind that there would be anyone else but her. And since that thought has never entered into my mind, it is alien to date for me to think of anyone else that might be able to take her place. Now, ladies, I'm not trying to be offensive towards you. It's just that I'm not interested. And when I'm not interested, I'm not interested. I was only interested in one soulmate. I'm the kind of man that believes that there's only one person that really fulfills you throughout all of life. So I kind of really stick to the biblical mandate that for every man, there is one woman, and for every woman, there is one man. And God intended it to be so, but he gives a letter of divorce because of the hardness of your heart. Read what Jesus says about that. It is important not to insist upon rushing a commitment, ladies. Well, come on now, we got to get married now because what? You think somebody else is going to snatch him up? That's why the engagement ought to be long enough. Setting deadlines, such as wanting to be married by a certain age, only imposes what the authors like to call artificial pressures and may interfere with the sound decision-making that you wish you had have made. How many people have I spoken with who have gotten married and has told me in no uncertain terms it was the worst mistake they've ever done? You would not believe it. One of the worst mistakes that they've ever done. See, if you're making this commitment to develop intimacy, and this commitment is a decision, because these commitments verbalize your feelings, and these feelings should be verbalized openly without any hostility towards the feelings that you verbalize. You got a husband, you got a wife, you should be able to talk to him and tell him anything. He wants to come to you and he wants to kiss you, sweetheart. And he has halitosis. In other words, terrible breath. You need to get some search or something and pop it in his mouth. It says you have beautiful, gorgeous lips. And I love to feel them against my beautiful, gorgeous lips. But your breath stinks. Boom. There it is. Without hostility. And you should be able to accept that if you're truly committed to the other person, without being hostile. You know, when we look at this issue of commitment, a lot of people think that it's much more important to women than to men. But that's not necessarily true. Whatever the reasons, many women approach a new relationship convinced that it would not last because maybe sometimes in the last couple of relationships that they've had, there was no pertinent commitment. But let's look at some of what Darlene and Derek calls fundamental principles of commitment. All right. Commitment is seeking ways to enhance the relationship. In other words, if you're going to get married or if you are married, you're looking for ways to build each other up. Commitment is thinking about your partner and not just about yourself. This is especially true in a self society. As Christians, we need to be selfless. Thirdly, commitment is being faithful, right across the board, being faithful in all ways, not just faithful sexually, but faithful intellectually, faithful physically to the person. It's how you touch your spouse, far different than how you touch anyone else. Commitment is being loyal and responsive to that person. It's being dedicated to maintaining the relationship. In other words, I'm going to keep this relationship